it's like been 50 weeks.
SpongeBob.
Water. I need it.
I don't need it. I don't need it.
I need it.
Oh, man. Hello, and welcome to New Day, New Movie,
where we watch 365 movies
in 365 days.
I'm Mitch.
I'm Scott.
And it's week 50.
It is week 50. We are over the hill.
Yeah, we're into our 50s now. Over the hill is week 50. It's not week 26, the halfway point.
No, it's week 50. It's just been like real life, right?
Just a giant climb.
Which, I mean, is that over the hill kind of like, you don't expect to live to 100 though, right? I don't. I mean, it's kind of a hill shaped like a bike ramp when you were
yes.
But whatever. It's an easier climb, and then it's a drastic fall.
If I knew this was halfway, there's no way I would make it. No.
Well, we have 2 weeks left.
2 weeks, and then we're done.
I think that feels good.
That does feel really good.
I think I like that a lot.
I was actually chatting with Kristen because I had to drop her off on my way over to your house today. And she's like, you know, in 2 weeks, I'm going to have full custody, right?
Like, I didn't know she was fighting for it. She could have it.
I was like, gladly.
I'm sick of this shit.
I don't want to go do this as much as you don't want me to go do this, okay?
Oh, man. Well, do you have any...
What's in the... Yeah, just, you know, talking of what we did, having 2 weeks left, pretty excited to be done. I'm interested to know what my life will be like not having movies in it. So that'll be something cool to explore in a couple weeks. Been seeing a lot of articles about some new movies in the works or in production. Just seems like everybody's just continuing to make remakes or sequels of
pumping
things instead of trying to do new stuff.
Yeah.
Like there's a new American Pie movie in the works.
Oh my God.
I saw somewhere about Buddy Games 2 being a thing.
Interesting.
New Deadpool, which we knew about, but speaking of that, Ryan Reynolds posted that Hugh Jackman will return as Wolverine for Deadpool, so...
Really?
Yeah, that's... I don't know...
No one's ever really
gone. No one's ever really gone. Yeah, so I don't know the accuracy of that. There was a tweet he put out, but it's a Deadpool movie, so...
It could be anything.
It could be a picture of him on a wall or something, anything, you know?
Knowing Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. So that's my news.
That's interesting. Yeah, I don't have anything great other than I am finding so much shit that I want to watch.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing. What I think is going to be funniest is I'm planning for the first movie I watch after we're done with this to be Bullet Train, which I should have watched doing this.
Yes.
So I'll finally be caught up.
I say I saw it to be able to purchase, and I almost just bit the bullet.
I almost did too. I'm gonna wait to rent it though. I don't need to buy and spend any more money on fucking movies.
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of sick of spending movies.
Yeah, seriously.
Which we were just talking about because we had to make one change in our spreadsheet this week.
Oh, yes.
You canceled the streaming service that we're now going
to
need.
I have turned off auto renew on all of the services that I no longer want to have that are not on the schedule anymore. 2 weeks out, so we only have a handful of them. And so Hulu's gone, Disney's gone. I think Paramount, I still have like 2 weeks left, but I turned it off. I turned off auto renew on everything for the most part.
Gonna start saving that money.
Yeah, an extra $50 a month to put towards. Yep. So.
As a kid, we would have been living good on that $50.
Man, $50, awesome. It's like, that's fucking $50, man.
Yeah.
I'm just going to spend it on some recreation shit anyway, probably, right?
Dude, Mitch, check out these movies I bought.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But that's what's in the... All right. Movies of week 50. And I think this was one of my favorite weeks, not gonna lie. Just because, like, even though all the movies weren't great, I kind of liked the horror heavy metal.
The horror?
Horror heavy metal, yeah. Thalos in Wonderland, bro. The horror heavy metal theme of the week. I enjoyed that kind of.
Yeah. I guess we talk about now is so this week you had two movies on this week for like months now.
Months.
And so I was trying to offset the two movies just in case. So I went the complete opposite direction. So this week was Phallus in Wonderland, Metallica Through the Never, The Munsters, Metal Lords, The Dirt, Hocus Pocus 2, and Flight of the Phoenix.
Yeah.
And so Munsters and Hocus Pocus 2 have been on the schedule for...
Since like June.
since early summer, I believe. So I decided, because those were the only two on the week, so when I filled, well, I was the first one to fill up this week with my picks, and I was like, fuck it, we're going Metallica Through the Never, Metal Lords, and The Dirt, the Motley Crue music biopic, whatever. And so you came in, threw in Phallus in Wonderland, and I think that sealed the deal for the week. fucking metal.
Fucking rock on, bro. I've been listening to metal all week.
Yeah, me too. Dude, I've had like the Metallica just radio station, whatever, playing. I've been so fucking productive.
Getting shit done.
Yeah, it's been great.
But starting our week off on Monday, we watched Phallus in Wonderland. This is a long one. This is pulled from the source. This is like old, like OG synopsis here, okay? Yeah. Revolting heavy metal band and the scum dogs of the universe. Gwar are about to be wiped off the face of the earth by Edna Granbo, an old hag who cannot stand Gwar and wants them eliminated. She has assembled the Morality Squad to accomplish her task. Their first mission is to steal the Gwar leader singer's Odorous Urungus' Cuttlefish of Cthulhu, which is just his dick. When that is completed, they attempt to create Tiny, a super mutant beast whose only point in life is the elimination of Gwar. With their backs turned against the wall, Gwar and their manager, Sleazy P. Martini, begin an all-out war against Edna Granbo and her Mortality Squad. A video version of Gwar's 1992 America Must Be Destroyed. It's been a hot minute since I've done a synopsis like that.
Seriously. I think I got more story out of you just reading the synopsis than I did out of watching the movie. Yeah. To be quite honest. But this was something.
So a little backstory if you're just tuning in with us, but we watched a documentary few weeks back called This Is Gwar, and in the documentary it mentioned how Gwar got signed by a record company, and then they gave them $50,000 for their like first official music video, and the band had never seen that type of money before, so they're like, fuck it, let's make a movie. And this movie became Phallus in Wonderland, and then it went on to actually be nominated for a Grammy, where they showed up at the Grammys in their Gwar outfits and then proceeded to get kicked out of the Grammys and told they have to come back in actual clothing. They didn't win, but this was that movie. And it's the most 90s thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, think peak 90s MTV. Think of like all the shitty green screen, the weird effects on the screen. I don't even know how to talk about this movie. It's a spectacle for sure. And I was so confused the entire time.
I don't know what to say. Because we watched this on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's free. It's just on YouTube.
360p.
I was going to say, the resolution, even on a tiny screen, looked like we were watching it on like an old CRT, you know, tube TV, old school. It was very difficult to actually tell what was going on. Not only because of the resolution, but because of the composition of the things appearing on screen.
Yeah, the stylistic choices were very questionable.
This thing was noisy.
Yeah.
If you had to sum up this movie in one word, and I don't mean noisy like the music. Yeah, the music was the best part.
Yes.
The music was fucking great.
Things like film grain.
and costumes and like, so picture the Gwar costumes.
Yeah.
And they're on stage sets. Take all of that and put it into a small, the room we're in, right? A small, like 10 by 10
set.
Yeah. I was going to say like soundstage or like, well, I don't even know what to just, it's just like a cardboard room.
Yeah. They can't even afford walls.
And fill it with with everything gore. And yeah, it's offensive to the senses, I think.
It's offensive to a lot more than just the senses.
Yeah, but I would just try to stick to the visual at the moment. I don't know. I this feels like forever ago. I'm not going to lie.
Well, it's such a short film, first off, right? Yeah. This was only the 55-minute mark. And it went pretty fast from what I remember. Like,
it did.
I just sat down and it was over before I knew it. Because yeah. it felt like a long music video, essentially. And I guess what I remember from the documentary was there was like three different ideas or three different people who had ideas for the vision of this, mm-hmm. which is why it felt so chaotic because mm-hmm. they all...
Well, I mean, that's kind of their shtick too.
Yeah, right. So everyone had artistic freedoms when making this film. Even the opening shot, it's really like weird point of view shit with like the camera all like fish-eyed and I don't know. It was odd. It was a very odd film. But like you said, the music.
The music was great. Yeah, Gore's great.
Gore. I fucking love Gore. If you have ever heard their music or seen one of their concerts, this is Gore, right? Like, it's a documentary. This is Gore right here.
Yeah, that was Gore and this was Gore.
Yeah. Did you like it though?
I can't say, I don't want to say no because that's not true, but it's not a yes or no answer.
Well, it is a one or a zero.
Would I ever, yes, of course, I'm getting there. Would I ever recommend this or watch this again? Or am I interested in watching Gore's other movies that we are aware that they've put out? Or probably not. I think I'll be fine if I don't. If they were on and someone was like, come sit down and watch this, I probably would. But I'm not going to go out of my way to do it. But this was nice to do off of the documentary, right? It was nice to actually see them and having the backstory we have now, right? If this was something we found and put on before we watched that, I don't know what the fuck we would be talking about right now. Because we would just be like, what the fuck was this? But no, I enjoyed it for what it is. One.
I mean, for me, it kind of reminds me of like a Jackass film in the sense of it just seems like a bunch of guys having fun.
Yeah, that was the best part of it. I think it wasn't like, the fact that it was the movie. It was like everyone involved just wanted to fucking be there and have a good time.
Yeah, like that's what they do on stage. It's what they got to do in this movie, right? And
it was unapologetically
enjoyable.
Gore.
Sorry you liked it.
But no, I did like it. I didn't mean to skew it that far negative. It's just, it's a lot.
A lot in a 55 minute yes. Cuttlefish type of way.
Yes.
I would also give it a one. Just like, I'm with Scott. I don't know if I'll ever watch it again. I don't think I ever have a need to watch it again. Yeah. I'm probably not going out and saying, yo, check out Phallus in Wonderland.
No.
But I'm not disappointed I watched it.
No. Yeah. It's a weird one.
Yeah, it is. There's a few weird ones this week.
But I do think it kicked the week off in the right direction. Can I say that?
I would agree.
Because on Tuesday, we watched Metallica Through the Never. So Trip, a young roadie for Metallica, is sent on an urgent mission during the band's show. But what seems like a simple assignment turns into a surreal adventure. So this was a Metallica concert in Vancouver in 2012, I believe, with what could possibly be like a dust short.
Yeah, 25 minute
sprinkled
short film
in throughout the concert. And the way that this reads is the concert aids
the story,
but this couldn't be further from the opposite.
I felt like this story could have just been playing on like a big screen during the concert.
Yeah.
And you could piece together what you want because there wasn't a lot of dialogue, right?
No.
It was like you said, this is a concert that just has a short film splashed in.
And the music,
through the midst
of the
song.
The music barely stops.
No.
So the music is the driver of, you know, and there's some relationship between the songs that come on and the events of the story. And And so like during the songs playing. Yeah. So that's something. So it wasn't like unnecessary. It's just there were many times where we would cut back to the story and I'd be like, oh yeah, this is a movie. I'm not just watching a Metallica concert, which I was more than happy to watch.
I say it's a badass concert.
It was fucking great. Dude, fucking that stage.
Sick.
That, and I heard
like the neon lights across.
Oh my god, dude. And then like they're recreating all the album covers of the when they were playing the series of like hits.
Yeah.
Where they'd have the everything changed, and then for like Injustice for All, they built the fucking statue just to bring it down.
Yep.
It was like, it's fucking awesome.
Huge production.
Oh man. But I read that this didn't do as well as they hoped. And James Hetfield is quoted saying that they learned a lesson from this because they sank a lot of money into this concert, into the production of the movie and everything.
Well, it's hard to call this a movie. If they had just called it a concert, I think it would have done better.
Or like go with music experience or something. Something that led me to is I've never seen The Wall, Pink Floyd.
I've never seen either.
Which I'm interested in watching now because I'm aware of its existence, but not really what it is or what it's about or whatever. I just know it has to do with the music, but you think like a big music video. But if that's what this is like, you know, I didn't know there was a genre like this, I guess, which I think is cool.
That concert series. Yeah,
but
movie
like a really
type.
Well done concert. Like the audio was great. I was sitting there for the first probably 20 minutes of the movie just thinking about how they potentially routed the audio and mastered it and everything, because it's obviously not live feed that we're getting. It was obviously mastered differently because his voice was very clear.
Yeah, not
so
echoey.
So that
such.
Like you basically have to have like a recording studio or something.
Yeah, almost all their
nearby,
equipment's funneling
sure
to
could,
somewhere.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not like it would be impossible or it's that complicated or anything. It was interesting to think about how they went about doing this, because it's like one of the best. Like if you're watching a concert, this is how I want to see concerts. I don't go to a whole lot of concerts, and I love music.
Yeah.
And I love live music. But I prefer like intimate concerts, things, you know, smaller venues, whatever. And I hate shit like this because all these people, I'm sure it was cool.
A fuck ton of people.
But there's a fuck ton of people, and like you can't see shit. You probably can't hear.
How long
by the
of
end
a
of the
day
night,
do
you can't
think
hear
that
all.
Was, right?
Like
you can't just like have a 3-hour concert and this be that, right? Like with everything that was going on, I'm sure this was stretched out over the course of a day. As far
what do you
as
mean? Like, I'm sure the concert was.
You think the concert,
just the concert.
Was just filmed?
Yeah,
normally?
They just. Oh yeah,
because I feel like they sunk so much money into it. So I have like, I don't know. I just feel like it would be a longer experience that you're sitting there.
No, I mean if you think about everything that happened, I don't know what, because there's stuff that quote unquote goes wrong.
Yep.
On stage,
where like,
but
the
it ties
shit
in sometimes, or
down.
It's so it's kind of hard to tell what's intentional and what's not.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just feel like if you're filming a movie, it's going to be a different. It's going to be a longer process, right? You're going to have different takes. You're going to have,
but I don't think the concert stuff. Right? It's not a movie. It is a concert.
Yeah,
and you have fucking tens of cameras flying around. You got, I don't know if like probably not drones, but. Stuff on
wires and stuff.
And,
yeah,
you know, okay. you have a pretty extensive camera setup.
I just where I'm getting at though is to say like we're gonna do this all in one take with no errors. Like I don't know. Like I feel.
But like how do you air a live event?
But because I'm just saying you're calling this a film. You're calling this a movie.
Well, okay.
There's got to be some direction to say, you know, we want this perfect shot. We're like, you think about how, you know, well crafted and mastered the audio was.
But you think about editing in general.
Yeah.
And what you have. Think about Star Wars. You know,
I don't
want to
think about Star Wars,
that,
Scott.
Old Star Wars. You know, something that is known to have been made in editing now. Right now, we are aware that the original cut of...
I just think this... I personally believe this was probably a whole day event.
I'm sure there was filming of other stuff. I'm sure a lot of the story-specific things. And obviously, the cuts of this... the stadium and being empty, and the, you know, obviously they were filming things because they had like time lapse sections of footage, but I think the concert was just filmed as a concert. I think they had an intent to make it a movie. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying I think they had that all planned and it all went for the most part according to plan live, and then edited in the movie, right? And a lot of it was probably made in editing.
Maybe
afterward. And this was just like, they filmed the whole concert. I'm sure they had ideas on the shots they wanted. I'm sure they knew where, I'm sure they storyboarded this, right? They knew where the movie was going to be for the most part and what scenes tied into songs. And
well, I'm sure there's a ton of planning up front.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
There's a ton of planning. I'm thinking if you have $18 million, which is the estimated budget on this film.
Okay.
You know, you want to do everything right, so you can't expect your concert to just run 100% smoothly. You know, there's going to be issues, and
Sure, but if you think about it, when you're making the movie, if there's issues, you're not going to redo a song, and there's issues in a live concert, period, that you don't necessarily,
yeah, but as this, a person viewing, this isn't viewing, a live sees. Concert. Like, they're constituting this as a film. They're constituting this as a movie.
The final product is a movie. But what was actually being...
Did they go in there and they recorded this badass concert and they're like, yo, let's make a movie out of this concert.
I'm sure they had a plan, right? I'm sure the venue, I'm sure the setup, everything they did revolved around this particular show and it going well. And I'm sure there was extensive, you know...
We can disagree on this. I think...
I don't know. I don't know how you're... It seems...
I feel like they...
It's an interesting take.
I feel like they broke it up. And it was just a longer day for the people in the crowd.
Yeah, maybe.
They get a free Metallica concert.
I'm sure they had sections, maybe, you know?
They get a free Metallica concert. Because, like, it doesn't seem like anybody's funneling in and out of the theater even, like, during a concert to go get beers and go get drinks. Like,
there were people... There were tons of people walking. What are you talking about? There were people that would walk up and like the next song would come on and they would stop instead of going to their seat and they would all be on the stairs just like...
I don't know. I'm just saying, if you're whatever. I just feel like with that many people, like there's bound for something, like some asshat to do something wrong, you know?
Yeah, but you just don't show that part. In
you
the
just
final
have security
footage, right?
Go fucking
you have
take that.
20 other cameras and 20 other camera angles at any given point in time. You just take something else, right?
I don't know.
Interesting.
It's interesting.
Well, okay. Long story short, to wrap this up now. This was a fucking sick-ass Metallica concert.
It was a cool concert that happened to have a zombie apocalypse short film in it.
For the chase for what I've seen is Cliff Burton's soul in a bag. Which is pretty cool. I kind of dig that. It's not like the most relevant in the stories. The story, like, you could have taken the whole story out of the concert and it would have been an awesome concert. But anyway,
I like the music. I had a good time just sitting down and listening to something because I wasn't really watching much. I feel like
I was watching and I was listening, and it was great.
I mean, when I was sitting there on the couch and I was just kind of jamming, you know. Just like, and then like the parts where the film came on, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, we're back to this
film. Oh cool. Yeah,
that looks cool. I guess let's go back to the music now, please. I give it a 1.
You give it a 1?
Yeah.
I give this a 1 as well. It is weird, though, to think about, like, as a movie, would I give this a 1? I think production and, like, even as a concert, to have had this, like I said, the audio was great, but you could tell it was still the live recording. It was just mastered for movie. I think the stage, like you said, there has to be, whether they did it in sections or they had it planned out and, you know, did live runs or whatever, it was an extensive production to put onto film. And I think that alone, yeah, this is a movie, right?
I think Alice in Wonderland's more of a movie than this, but
yeah.
Either way,
this was longer
and a much bigger budget. And a much more well-known band.
Yeah.
I mean, we can compare the two all day. I think Metallica is going to beat out Gore in most situations.
All right, move on.
So,
I know you're itching to get into this next one.
No, I'm not. Fine. So just as Metallica Through the Never covered a zombie apocalypse story, our next movie has Rob Zombie directing the movie. There's your fucking transition.
Smooth.
Thanks. The Munsters. Reboot of The Munsters, which follows a family of monsters who moves from Transylvania to the American suburb. All right. So like we talked about previous in this episode, I threw this movie on in like June. I saw it was coming out. I saw the release date. I went out and added, I don't know, like 20 weeks to our calendar
just so
I could throw the movie up. Anyways, I knew it was going to be bad.
Did you?
I didn't expect it to be this bad. This was one of the worst movies I think I've ever seen.
Wow.
Which I think makes me like it a little bit, if I'm being honest. Like, it kind of has that cult campy type of feel, but it's just like everything about this did not work.
I think I enjoyed this for the most part.
Okay, cool.
It started out bad.
Yeah.
I agree with you. It started out as one of the worst movies we've watched in this year. But then they brought in Herman.
And you liked Herman.
And I think it redeemed itself a little with a lot of the ideas. Like, there were good stuff. It just kind of kept going in and out where there was really good stuff. And then there was like really bad stuff. But in general, I think I was laughing regardless of whether it was with or at the movie. And it did switch back and forth. But I was chuckling along with some stuff. Herman was great. The guy who did Herman, he's pretty fun. I really enjoyed him and his, I don't know. It's just goofy, right? But you needed to. This is one of those you have to adjust for.
Have you seen the original Monsters?
Yes.
Okay, so I
the original Monsters is good.
Yeah. The original Monsters. I could see the inspiration. Because it used the same characters.
Yes, I think this but is something...
Like the oversaturation in the film.
So I don't know how much you looked into this outside of just having watched it and being upset.
I wasn't upset. That's why I say, like, I kind of liked it when I think about it. And I'll talk about it more later. Yeah. But
it's
what
tough.
What did you research?
So he wanted to do it in black and white. And Universal wouldn't let him.
So he just went over the top.
So he did the exact opposite and went as fucking colorful as possible. And I think he said something along the lines of, because this is one of them, and you've mentioned, I'm pretty sure before, that when they filmed it, their costumes and stuff, there was stuff like the set was pink.
Yeah.
Right? So stuff would pop because it's black
and
white.
For the contrast, yeah.
And I think that was something I recall reading him saying of like doing it as it was actually filmed. He thought, you know, it's so saturated and bright in reality. And so to kind of do that and bring it to life in what your mind kind of pictures. Yeah. So there was that. But I think this would have been better black and white, honestly.
I would agree with that. Because some of the colors were distracting at times.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, there's so much more wrong with this film.
Sure.
I think the pacing of this film was atrocious.
It
kind of felt like they had two major conflicts, one that they introduced in like the last like 15 minutes of the movie, which didn't make sense. Like, I would have rather them spent their time on that conflict than like the how did Herman meet his wife storyline. And like, I felt they'd spent too much time in Transylvania. Like, that just kind of dragged on for me. Like, I would have rather them move to America and spent more time with adjusting to, like, the suburban lifestyle. And, like, that would have been a better plot.
But that's the show, right? And so that's kind of how I looked at it is he didn't want to mess with that.
I get that.
Because he had and obviously this was a bit of a passion project. And I think he's quoted saying that this is one of his dream projects to work on a Monsters reboot.
Well, exactly that. Reboot.
But that's the thing is this isn't a reboot, even though that's what it said.
That's what I'm saying.
It's like a prequel.
If you're going to make it a prequel, make it a prequel.
Right.
But
when you say reboot, I get you're expecting it to be more along the lines of the show's content. And that's when it did get interesting and fun when they were there, but it is the last 15. Yeah, you're right. It's like the last 15 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
But it's all just a setup for, I don't know. I feel like you need to know enough about the monsters to get what this was trying to do.
Well, you said setup. And my interpretation of this movie is it felt like a long pilot. Like, this felt like...
Yeah, I would agree with that.
This is a pilot for a potential series, but we just didn't know what to cut out, so we gave you everything.
So we put it all in.
We just gave you everything.
Yeah.
And you can take it, because it kind of leaves you hanging at the end, right? By introducing that next conflict. And if it's like a cliffhanger, that's one thing, but to have it like play out for as long as it did in the end and then have no resolution, it was just a really weird choice to do it that way, unless you are planning to do something again,
which you don't know, as part of
a series, right?
Because maybe they do have plans to do something.
That could be true, right? If we're continuing with this reboot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you are going to carry on the traditional story of how Herman and Lily end up having their kids. And again, I didn't like it, but I also liked it. And it's one of the more contemplative places I've been in our podcast. Just because I'm with you. Like, there's a few times that I was chuckling, like, from what was actually, like, being shown. But most of the time, I was just laughing at the content. Like, it was humorous to me. And this is like a movie that I would watch again. And I would actually recommend people to watch it because of how bad it was, which is why I think I liked it.
I don't know. I'm with you where this, seriously, when this started out, I was like, fuck you, Mitch. And then we kind of settled in because my dad watched it with me. And I think both of us too at the beginning had the Addams Family and the Munsters, like the old show, kind of mixed up. So a lot of the tone
of the film,
I think we were talking about this after, and we were like, I think we kind of were thinking, we were kind of fusing them together. And so the tone, I think, of the Addams Family was different from the Munsters.
Yep. They're kind of different social classes, so the humor with the two are a little different, and I think that's where you kind of have to draw the line between the two. Like, the Munsters, at least in where we started the story, right, they were living as kings and...
Yeah, but Herman isn't. That's most of the conflict in the movie, right, is Grandpa Munster.
The Count.
The Count, like, is trying to stop the marriage, and he doesn't like Herman, and Herman's a big goof, and...
I think that's fine, but it's like little quips, you know? It's just like little one-shots at him, but there's never like the conflict is that Herman's dumb enough to make a deal with her brother to sign out over the house, which even then doesn't really have any altercations except for, hey, just we're moving to America.
It works out for him, yeah.
You know, like, there's no consequence for his action. It's not like Lily gets mad at him. It's also the
Munsters, though, you know? I don't know. It's kind of like... I kind of go back to last week with Pee Wee. It's like, but it's Pee Wee Herman, you know. But it's the Munsters, and I've been interested since we watched this to go back and actually watch some episodes of the old show, which they have, I believe, the entire series on Peacock because it's Universal, right? So I think I'm gonna do that at some point, and I'm curious to see what other references to the old show they had
they threw in there
that were specifically, you know, for people to get that kind of maybe. If you didn't get it, it didn't make a whole lot of sense in the grand scheme of, you know, in the whole picture, but it was a specific reference.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I wanted more of that vibe. I wanted more of that old television kind of style. And I don't know that it got there. And I think the black and white would have helped. And I think the fucking score was terrible. This was like the most awful TV movie, but like, I'm trying to be insulting to only specific, like, I don't want to insult the whole network here, right? But I'm trying to think of like just the worst fucking.
You're just trying not to say like Hallmark? Like, is that what you're trying to say?
Like a Lifetime or a... But I don't know, it was just awful. And a lot of it didn't fit the scenes and didn't fit the, like, the parts when they were singing or like his stuff. That was fucking great. I think that was just so
when they were doing stupid. The duet up on stage.
Yeah, it was just dumb, but it was like of the, you know, I don't know. And then him being the, like, his punk,
his persona of just I'm the coolest motherfucker out there.
Yeah,
I'm Herman fucking Munster.
Yeah, like, that was all great, but I wish they did more of the kind of old. Jess, put in a clip of like old Munsters score of the old, you know, just a quick, or think of like old Scooby-Doo or old, like those kind of you know, those kind of shows where there were the goofy mystery monsters. So they had a little spooky air to it, but it's like a fun, but like orchestral or something. This I don't even know what the fuck this was. It took me out of it quite a bit. And I think that's my biggest gripe with this is we don't even get the Munsters theme in this until the credits.
Yeah.
Like, have little bits of... Like, what did we just watch? Oh, Jurassic World Dominion.
So are you arguing for the nostalgia piece then?
I don't think... Because I don't feel nostalgic for the Munsters.
Yeah.
So that's not the angle I'm looking at it, I guess. I guess you could argue that that's a something of feeling. Like, oh, it feels like the old Munsters. But I just think that would have helped with... The actual, like, if you want this to be the Munsters,
you have to have callbacks to
don't have it
the Munsters.
Feel like, because there were parts of this that felt like fucking Hocus Pocus 2, which we'll get to.
Oh, we'll have plenty of talk there.
But you know what I mean? I just mean I would have liked more of
you didn't the want style it to be something that the, it's not. You wanted it to feel yeah, like the Munsters.
I don't know. I'm losing it. Just. I think after sitting with this, I enjoyed it. I would probably watch it again.
I've grown to enjoy it more since sitting on it.
Yeah.
Like the first night I watched it, I was angry. I was like, this is so fucking stupid. But then I saw my mom watching it like a couple of days later. And I was like, you're watching the Munsters. I could have warned you how bad it was. And then we were laughing about it. And like that made me enjoy it more just because it was just something... Like, we found enjoyment laughing at how bad the Munsters was. And I guess that was nice.
Well, it's something I read, too, is the Munsters, for a lot of people, older generations than us, obviously. And this is how Rob Zombie has talked about it, too, of looking at it as a gateway to horror.
Mm.
And this is something that he said he's had a lot of people approach him that are like, we love your other movies. This is the first of your movies that we can watch with our kids.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, right? Or this is the... So I kind of like it from that angle that how we've gotten to horror where we are, we just keep watching the same old formulaic horror bullshit.
Good old gateway for the most, movie.
But this is like, it's for kids too, right? It's for kids.
The marijuana of movies.
Anyway.
Have you ever seen Beetleborgs?
Beetleborgs?
Yeah.
No.
So this was a TV show back in the 90s. And they made a few movies.
Beetleborgs.
And this felt like a Beetleborgs episode. You can look it up.
I'm going to have to look it up.
You can look it up. But that's my only note I want to throw out there about this movie.
All right. I'll address that next week.
Beetleborgs.
96 to 98. Oh, I've just seen pictures of clips when I pulled it up here. And all right. Yeah, maybe a little.
I know I spent like the entire time kind of bashing it, but like as I mentioned a few times,
yeah,
like,
I'm confused by you going back and forth. But I
it's
think
never
that's
been a back and forth
true.
Though. It's just like it's one of the worst movies I've ever seen, but I found enjoyment watching it. Like, I found enjoyment.
I don't think that at all.
That's fine. I do, and
yeah, that's
and maybe like I don't know. I'm so conflicted. It's a one for me. It's written in my notes. It's a one. Because I would definitely watch
Tyler,
it again.
Listen to this one before you're on for your final week and try and give us a play-by-play of how the fuck we got to the conclusion.
I'm just saying, though, I would watch it again. I would recommend it to other people because of just how outrageously bad I thought it was. This kind of falls into like a troll two for me.
Fair enough.
It's bad and Fair I love enough. It. That's it.
Yeah. No, I think 50% of this movie was great, and 50% of this movie was ass, and I round up, so.
You round up that
overall,
ass,
overall, I enjoyed it. So no, I give this a one.
You don't like them flat cheeks. He likes them round.
It's 50% good. I round up. No, I give this a one. It is what it is, right? I mean, it's...
That's usually all it is.
It is what it is. It am be what it am be. I feel like we haven't said that in a while.
Can't change it.
Here it is. But that was the fucking Munsters. On Thursday, we watched Metal Lords. Two friends try to form a heavy metal band with a cellist for a battle of the bands. That's not the most accurate description or synopsis, it's fairly, good enough.
It's enough.
I really liked this.
I liked this movie a lot.
I thought this was really fucking great. I was not expecting it to be as good as I thought it was.
So I'm gonna be the first to say that I had this on my list of things to throw on a couple times.
Okay.
But also,
I think this was on our big movie list.
It might have been on the big one. Yeah. I just never got around to getting it on the list, either because I forgot about it or I was trying to make sure I ensured a one from my picks. And this was on the it could be good, could be bad. Either way, this is great. This is another movie with a badass soundtrack that we've listened to this week.
Yep.
Again, just continued on the heavy metal all week.
Obviously. The actual music from the movie, not just the music we know, whatever, but like even their live stuff and playing.
Yeah.
Like their playing was legit.
Shredded.
It was actually, I don't know, it was just well done, and a lot of the things that a movie like this usually does wrong, it didn't do.
Yeah, for me. I have that as a few of my points of what you would expect to happen didn't happen, and it was a nice change of pace. So like the antagonist of the other band was just actually just a good dude.
Yeah, he's like a moron, but he's a cool guy.
Yeah.
He's pretty chill.
Yeah, so there's never like a
yeah, there's no actual conflict between the
fans.
Yeah,
I don't like you because you're different. It's just like, I'm just trying to be a person to you, and you are shutting off everybody around me. So it's your own kind of internal issue that you're dealing with. Or Kevin was actually a decent dude when he had like a chance to cheat on his girlfriend, and in any other movie it would have went through, and then there had been some fallout and some makeup at the end, but then he like got spoken to by rock gods and they're like, don't do this, dude. Fucking,
who showed up? Tom Morello and Scott Ian, I think. Yeah, and they're like,
bro, you love her, right?
What are you doing, man? You got a girl, why are you doing this?
So like that was just like, it was things like that in this kind of traditional movie. Like it plays out as most movies do.
Yeah, it's a cliche premise, but the way that they handle it is not how they usually handle stuff like this. Yeah. Right? And I think the high school parts of it were, I mean, I have one thing where you have obviously the dad of
Hunter.
Yeah, yeah. So obviously they're loaded. So he's like driving a fucking like
Dodge Charger.
and he goes, he gets his dad's credit card and they drop 15 grand at Guitar Center. But it's like, you know, that it fits in the movie and the story of the movie, right? It's not trying to be relate to this, but the parts where they do have relatable stuff, I think they handled well.
Mm-hmm.
I think it felt natural and it wasn't forced and it wasn't, I think some of the anger issues from the girl.
Oh, Emily.
Emily. I think they were pushing over playing that, but they didn't really develop that very much, so they kind of had to get there, you know? But I don't know. I just think all around it was well done, and it was just a good kind of feel-good
movie. So I think this would have probably been thrown on the list earlier for me had I seen the rating of it.
Was it rated high? I actually don't know.
No, rated R.
Oh, I didn't know.
So, like, I was always thinking this was, like, a PG-13 movie, so they were going to boil down a lot of the conflict, which is why I think I was hesitant to put it on so many weeks. And then, like, when it started playing, the little rating came up at the top saying includes choice language, nudity, all of these things that they listed out, and I was like, okay. So we're going to get into some deeper shit, which I think is good, because a lot of the times this would just be a movie. Would be a PG-13 where like they might drop a F-bomb, right? Because that's all they're able to be limited to. Right?
I should have known that with the amount of times they were talking about the band name Skullfucker.
Yeah.
And I just never thought, oh, this is rated R. Nice. I was just like, oh, this is a good movie.
But I'm glad that they made that choice to do that, right? Because this could have easily been a PG-13 film where they boiled down all of the content, and then it would have felt like every other movie that tries to do this exact same thing.
Yep.
So that made me, like, as soon as I saw that in the opening credits, like, oh, we're probably in for a little bit of a treat here. And yeah, they did a fantastic job with this.
So can I say something real quick off of that?
Yeah.
I think this is one of the benefits of the streaming climate we're in right now, right? Because this was, I believe this is Netflix, right?
Yep.
This is a Netflix original?
Yeah.
Yes. You don't have to worry about getting all of the teens that you're trying to appeal to in the theater because they're not old enough to see the movie by themselves. So you're able to actually make the movie you want to make, and you're not worried about trying to get ass in seats, right?
Yep.
You're able to release it to the streaming service where you know your audience is present,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to find it, and no one's going to hold them back, right? Which obviously also could play into, you know, could be an argument for, like, all of this is available to anyone that has Netflix. It's a whole parenting thing, but just parent your fucking kids and it's fine, right?
Yeah, give them a child but account if you don't want them watching choice movies.
I think a 15-year-old watching this movie, you know, a 15-year-old wouldn't be able to go see this on his own in the theater, but I think it's more than appropriate.
Yeah, I think if you've ever stepped into a high school and you understand how kids talk, how kids interact with each other, what they watch, what they listen to.
Oh, yeah.
This is right up the alley of things that they would probably like and enjoy. And I agree with you. I've never thought of that standpoint of that Netflix can start to do that. And on the other end of that, and we'll talk about it in a couple movies, but Disney did the complete opposite of that to make sure that they included nothing specific that could be construed in any way. So I like the freedom that I guess these filmmakers have.
Make the movie you want to make.
Yes, exactly.
Put it out there. Don't worry about
how other people are going to react or, you know.
Well, I can't think, and that's something I guess we haven't talked about a whole lot doing this because of the world we live in now, but it's something now that I think of it, thinking back to when we were in high school or something, and after, of seeing movies in the theater and hearing about this was cut down for PG-13. To be able to, you know, it's something that wasn't uncommon. And so now I think this is the right platform for this, and it enables filmmakers to maybe be able to do that and still make what they, you know, I don't know, just a thought I came across just now.
But, and obviously we have no factual evidence to support that reasoning, but I could definitely, if you watch the movie, you could see how this could swing either way.
Mm-hmm.
Like by having some more adult related content versus, like, we could easily cut those parts out, tone it down, and then you have a PG-13 movie
I don't think with this particular movie, if you think about other movies that kind of do that, but take it as far as they can for something like, think of the era of Superbad, or mm-hmm. stuff like that, right? Where if this was something they were putting in theaters, I think there's some movies that say it's a little further than what they actually allow for PG-13, but it's really not an R movie, right? There's kind of a gray area in the transition there for a certain age group. And I don't know if that's something that another rating or, you know, I don't know how that could be handled, but this removes that completely because this is just available to whoever finds it and thinks, maybe I like this movie, and they watch it, and they like it.
Knowing Netflix, it's going to be posted on their top 10 of the week as soon as it came out, right?
Sure.
It came out this year, so that's probably how I saw it anyways.
Yeah.
Is it was probably one of those top 10s of the weeks, and I wasn't doing well on those, so I'm not doing that one.
I think you're just picking the wrong top 10s.
Oh, this is probably three or four.
With Netflix, just not with your Netflix. Somehow. But anyway,
that final song though was badass.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people, I read some stuff on Reddit after this about this movie, and there were some people who were just upset by having a cello player in a heavy metal band, but then everybody was like, have you not heard of the band Apocalypse, or I don't know what the band was, but they're like, they do exactly this with,
well, and then two cellos.
Yeah.
Is two guys. It's literally just two cellos, and they remake
any song. A ton of
that. Yeah. I think that was the inspiration. I'm sure that was the inspiration for this. I'm pretty sure they did War Pigs.
Okay.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Either way,
though.
They
do a bunch of.
I love the final song, and just, I love how he ascended off the stage. I'm like, he's a rock god now.
That was great. And then the fact that they didn't win, and he, you know, because the thing fell, the tower of.
Broke his fucking leg. Yeah, yeah.
The tower of amps fell on him. And
I mean, that's a School of Rock thing, right? If you really want to be nitty gritty about it. But
it works, right?
It's like, he was the headline. It wasn't about winning the competition. Right. It was about sticking it to the man,
right,
and getting your name out there and losing to a cover band of...
And the fact that he runs into the guy he's idolizing from their high school who didn't make it because the band broke up, and that ends up being his fucking, like,
psychiatrist at the mental at the ward
facility that he's at. I don't know. That was all fucking great. It was just like it was good. It was a good movie. It's a good movie.
Yeah, Joe, how do you say Manganiello.
Manganelli.
yeah, this is a one. This is a great movie.
So we are we're all ones, huh?
Yeah, for a little longer.
but next on Friday, my last choice of the week.
The dirt.
My last metal stick it to Mitch for putting our next movie on, but The Dirt, the Motley Crue story. Based on the best-selling autobiography of Motley Crue, the film is an unflinching tale of success and excess as four misfits rise from the streets of Hollywood to the heights of international fame. I love Motley Crue. I enjoyed this movie. But this is exactly the formula. Let me begin.
You're referring to biopics of bands or artists, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm talking about the Queen movie, the Elton John movie, probably the new Elvis movie, all of the movies that they've been doing, right?
Yes.
And this was 2019, mm-hmm. So this was at the peak of it, I believe. And so this followed that to a fucking T, right? You've got they're sitting around making a name, and the thing about this was, and a lot of these movies, my favorite part of these movies is the credits. Because they actually put real footage and shit and they tie it in.
Yeah.
And I think that made some of this movie better after seeing the direct references. But what I can't stand about these movies is how they try and work everything in when they can, but it all happens in like one scene. Right? And it's usually, and it didn't happen in this movie. Every time they were in the studio, I'm like, this is going to be the studio scene, right? This is where they're going to do Home Sweet Home. This is when they're going to write it, and it's going to be a thing, and then they're going to cut to the playing it in concert or whatever. They never do that.
They rewrote the lyrics, but then there's a huge like falling out with the band.
Yeah.
But they
never quite do what you expect them to do with it. And I don't think they ever... Did they ever even play Home Sweet Home?
At the very
end. In its entirety until... Yeah, I was going to say, but like throughout the movie and when...
No.
They kind of... Like that era of Motley Crue, they kind of skip almost.
So...
Because that was the most, you know...
So I think what this movie had that a lot of those others didn't is obviously the band wrote their best-selling novel,
right.
The Dirt, right? So I'm going to agree with you. Like, this is my favorite biopic of any of those movies thus far. Like, I think I love Motley Crue. I had no idea kind of their chaoticness in their rise to fame.
I didn't know some of the stories.
But also, like, reading a lot of reviews, this movie just barely scratched the surface of what's in that book.
Yeah.
Like, this is almost... Like, they showed you some things,
it's
which
still
made
a mass
sense.
Appeal music.
Yes.
Right?
But also, like, they were, like, when Ozzy Osbourne's, like, licking the pee off of everything, like, that was a challenge between the band and him. Like, that was supposed to be, like, who's the dirtiest of the bands or something. So they kept going back and forth between each other to see who could out nasty the other one. But it never, like, painted them in that light, right? So. It told enough of a story for it to be like, holy shit, this is pretty wild. But also it left out a lot of things that, like, I wanted to read the book now because I think.
Yeah. Dude, too.
Like, I'm really interested to know, like, what is it that they did bring into this movie? And then what did they leave out? And as you were talking about, you were waiting for those scenes to kind of take place or to happen that you would expect from this style of movie. I felt in the third act, it seemed like a different movie than the rest of the film. Like it had more of that Hollywood-esque feeling to it where, you know, you're trying to put it at the angle of feeling for these characters, but there's so much that was left out. Like the whole, Tommy Lee, Pam Anderson relationship was something that was left out, which had, you know, I just, if you know Motley Crue and if you've read the book, and the book's always better.
Yeah.
You're like...
It's true.
you know, this was a pretty good job of that, but there was so much more story to be told, and a lot of people would have wished that this was like a TV series almost, like a 5 to 6 episode long story of Motley Crue off of their book.
Yeah, but I don't know if it would have done so well
that way.
That way.
I mean, I just, yeah, because you're going to reach a wider audience this way. But yeah, for the people who love Motley Crue and are invested in the band.
But just doing the whole, like, recreation of this, you can't do certain things naturally with, I don't know if we kept everything the same and fused it into that, right?
Yeah.
Stretched it out into a series. I don't know that the actors' performances would have
been as good,
held up as well, because they weren't great, but they were enough for this.
Yeah.
And they fit the tone of, you know, and it was kind of a fast paced, you know, the movie kind of moved, right?
Yeah, it went quick. They stretched a good span of time throughout this movie. They introduced a lot of characters. They got rid of a lot of characters quickly. Like, any girlfriends that were staying around were in and out pretty fast.
Yeah. And that's, you know,
that was the nature of the band, right?
Sure. But I just think, I don't know.
But I mean, like I said, this was my favorite biopic so far. I thought the way they illustrated certain scenes were really interesting. And I'm not necessarily agreeing with what I was saying about other people wanting that of like a TV show.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
Because
I was just
my investment of like Motley Crue is,
I would watch more of a documentary series, I guess.
With them kind of going through.
Yeah, actually have them talk about stuff if they want to recreate stuff, whatever. But I don't know. I think what killed, or my least favorite, was the narrating, the way they handled the, you know, you'd have the band members swapping it out of talking about their story.
I like the fourth wall breaks, though.
I didn't hate the idea of it, but I think it got old.
And
it didn't stay, it felt inconsistent.
From what I read, it was more of supposed to be like from the style of the book, of like, this is me speaking to you, like if you were reading.
Sure.
It
makes sense.
The autobiography,
but I feel like they only put it in certain parts and then let the movie be a movie the rest of the time.
And then they would throw
it
in.
They either need to stick with it or get rid of it kind of thing, which made it kind of stand out and be a little odd at times. But no, overall, I think this isn't a movie that I would have thought that I would have liked a year ago if I knew. So I will say, when I added this, I don't know how. I don't know what the fuck I was looking at. I don't know if I got it confused with another movie. I have no fucking idea. But I saw that it had like a 90% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
It does not. It's not even close. Does it? Are you looking at it? I looked up when I was looking, because I was looking and my dad and I were watching this and both thinking, oh, fuck, this isn't very good. And then I looked it up because I was like, it's supposed to be really good.
Rotten Tomatoes.
It's like a 50-something.
Well, the audience score is 94%. The tomato meter is 36%. So critics 36? Did not like this.
Wow, it's even worse than I thought.
At least from what I recall of Tyler's thing when we were talking about what the fuck a tomato meter was.
Yeah, the tomato meter.
Thermometer.
That's just critics.
Yeah, so 36% for critics, but 94% audience.
Yeah, I don't think it's a great movie, but I think it was enjoyable. So I see that. I would think most people that, no one's going to watch this that like doesn't like Motley Crue, right? So you're not going to.
Well, I think with all of these movies, right? Everybody loves looking at like the juicy side of a rock star or something like that, which is why I think we had this span of
these movies like this. I just hate how fucking fake they are, though. Like the Queen movie. Like the whole writing Bohemian Rhapsody in the, or whatever the fucking scene where they're writing in that, like all the studio scenes are just so fucking dumb, but people don't know that.
But
so
it also works, like,
for the
I mean,
movie. I don't know. I know it's just a me thing, because
this movie at least tried to address the inconsistencies of the film, of what like of the film versus what actually happened, right? That's where they had like, this was another person that was here, but that dude was an asshole, so he's not in the film anymore,
I did,
right?
I did like that where they're kind of like,
so they're like trying to tell you,
do this,
and but also like in the credit sequence, they talked about naming their band, and they almost did name their band Christmas or Xmas. Like that was a, I don't know if it went exactly like that conversation.
That's what I'm saying, is they do that where they take little bits and pieces, because obviously the remaining members of Queen were a part of the Queen movie, right? Obviously, Elton John, I'm sure, was a part of the Elton John movie.
Yeah.
That's a thing, right? And they have, there's some accuracy to things that happen, but it's the way that they happen and the times they happen, and they make it all so, like, grandiose, I guess, but so, like, eye-rollingly...
Well,
like we're in the play that bass line again. That's sick, you know, like that kind of shit. Which this movie had some of, but it didn't. I wasn't as bothered by most of it. I don't think it dialed it up as much as the other.
I think there's just a lot more shit that outweighed any of the small like wins for the band, right?
Yeah,
like there's multiple times that something would happen in this movie that I would then get on my phone to do research.
Yeah, I think I looked up a couple of things.
Where I was like, holy shit, did this actually happen? And it's like, oh, yeah, that actually happened. You know, like Vince Neil only getting 30 days in prison for his car crash
that too.
Killed somebody. I was like...
Yeah, my dad was like, what? No way. Looked it up.
Yeah, that's what I said. So, like, this was... Like, that excitement, I think, or those true stories that you're just like, no fucking way.
Yeah.
Right? And then it's like... Yeah, that happened. You're like, oh, wow. The 80s were a different time.
Yeah. No, I agree. I
will say the one thing I really disliked about this movie, because he felt so fucking out of place, was Pete Davidson, dude.
I was just about to say, I think the members of Motley Crue in general, everyone did well enough. I think I enjoyed them. Even
Machine Gun Kelly,
even MGK, right? Even Colson, whatever his
name, Baker,
Colson Baker, yeah. MGK. When I first saw him, I was like, "Is that who I think it is?" And then he spoke, and I was like, "But I think maybe as Tommy Lee, like maybe that worked. I don't know, but it didn't. It wasn't distracting like I thought it was when I first saw him. I think
I had that with Ramsey Bolton, and I was like,
that." That one at times is a little weird, but in the end, like, it was fine. But yes, Pete Davidson fucking sucked.
He stuck out like a sore thumb, dude. Like, everything with him was just, like...
And he said things where he said things in his delivery way that were not... They were the most unfunny thing, but he said them like he's expecting you to laugh at him. I don't know. I just don't like
Pete Davidson. It was Pete a Davidson weird comic approach, anyway. And it just didn't work. But no, I did odd. Like the dirt. I liked it quite a bit. Added to... The music this week, like yes. I switched to Motley Crue after this this movie.
Yep.
So I've been listening to that the last few days. Yep. So made me want to watch Hot Tub Time Machine again.
That's exactly what I added Hot Tub Time Machine to my.
And I almost was like, "You just want to end with that instead of Halloween Ends?" Because I would love to talk about Hot Tub Time Machine because I really want to fucking watch it now.
Oh man, yeah, me too. I thought the exact same thing.
No fucking way. But no, the dirt is a one.
It's one for me as well.
Look at us go. Can we skip the Nets one so we can have maybe a perfect week?
I'm down. Oh, that's what I wanted to talk about with the dirt. Do you know who directed it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeff Tremaine. We were talking about Jackass earlier. Yeah. Jeff Tremaine.
That's what I wanted to say. That's why I was assuming MGK was on the new Jackass because they had a report from this movie.
Yeah.
This was
his first movie that he didn't direct for like a Jackass film.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what? You took a formula and you tweaked it enough to make me like it. So,
kudos.
Good on you.
All right. On Saturday,
let's just rip the Band-Aid off.
We watched Hocus Pocus 2. Three young women accidentally bring back the Sanderson sisters to modern day Salem and must figure out how to stop the child hungry witches from wreaking havoc on the world. So let's start. Let's just depict this. Child hungry is not something that's in this movie. And
say that, what was it?
Child hungry witches from wreaking havoc on the world.
They were child hungry. They were literally eating cosmetic. Okay,
so as we were talking about metal lords, Okay. And how that benefited from going to Netflix and having that creative freedom to tell the movie you want. This felt so fucking ham-fisted protection-wise of we can't do anything that could upset anybody.
Well, it's Disney. That's what Disney is now, which is why I was excited to get rid of it because I'm over it.
Just it was such a disappointment. Like, you look at the original film, and there's some creepy shit for kids, right? I'm not saying it's scary by any means, but, like, the fact that they eat a child or suck her soul out of her body, right? They hang the witches. They burn them. Like, they show some pretty kind of scary shit. And they want to even get close to doing anything that would maybe insinuate something bad to happen to somebody. And even when they die at the end, it's all fucking...
Yeah, sparkly, lovely...
Particles.
Very, very fart
dust.
Like,
oh, feel bad for these witches that literally killed children to... Whatever.
Yeah, that was the weird thing with this one, which, okay.
I want to back up, though. I want to talk about the ending, yeah.
No, I'm not going to talk about the ending. I will start by saying I don't have the connection to Hocus Pocus you have. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we've talked about it before.
Yeah.
But maybe you should recap. I don't know. But, like, you love Hocus Pocus. We went to the theater last Halloween.
It was a couple of years ago. Two years ago. I made you go see Hocus Pocus.
To go see Hocus Pocus re-released in theaters. I don't give, and I mean this in the most non-aggressive, not like I mean no ill will towards Hocus Pocus or you for liking it or anything, but I just couldn't give two shits. I don't care, right?
Yeah.
It means nothing to me. That's it. So I don't really want to talk a whole lot about it. I want to hear what you have to say. And I was hoping that you would like this, but I just, from watching it, I've seen the movie multiple times, the original, right?
Yeah.
I'm not ill-equipped to watch this, right?
Yeah.
But I just don't care, so I don't think I got upset with anything.
That was coming in negative anyways, and that's fine because this was not a good movie,
right?
The slightest. And what's interesting is I think the internet's kind of divided on this. You either loved it or you hated it.
I could see that.
And there's not really an in-between. And I kind of was falling in the in-between until I started writing my notes on this. And just, it was one thing after another of things that I did not like about this movie. So, I mean, starting off, right, I liked the Young Sanderson sisters.
That was the best part of the movie.
I liked how their interpretation of their older selves was really spot on. And, like, they had the quirks down and everything felt natural. But I felt you should have been able to play with that idea of them being witches and thinking of what Salem was, because that was not a good place, right? Like, banished to the woods?
Movie.
Banished to the woods? Are you fucking kidding me?
It's
like
a Disney movie.
A girl does math in Salem and gets, oh, she's a witch, burn her, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
there's
she
a whole
got stoned and burned
mob mentality, yeah. Right? So I get that they
You're
were playing
bring
it
up Salem,
down, but
don't fucking, you know, G-rate
don't dance
it.
Around it, right?
Yeah.
Like, even the original, like, there's some more adult shit in there, and you still had that rating, and yeah, ratings were much different 29 years ago than they are today.
Sure.
But, like, if you're going to talk about their history in Salem, like, let's talk about the horrors of Salem, even at a PG-13 rating, right? Whatever. I got past that. But
what was this
rated? I think it's PG.
Okay. I think the original was too, right?
Yeah. But so PG in the 90s
PG then
was
PG-13 now, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, practically R.
Yeah. And well, PG-13 was definitely R back then.
And today's standards, what
yeah.
I'm saying.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I hate how Disney put their claws into this and just boiled back all of the excitement.
They gotta bring up everything that they've ever did. They're gonna dredge up. I got my words fucked up there. They're gonna dredge up and try and reboot all of it. Right? We're gonna have handfuls of Home Sweet Home Alones and Hocus Pocus 2s.
Well, that's the thing. It's just anybody who works. I can't speak as this is fact, but it just seems like the directors for these films are walking on eggshells constantly.
They are.
Like, you can't, there's no, like, the line is very short of where you are able to work within. And as soon as you pass that line, I don't know if you're fired or what the hell happens. Maybe you just don't even exist anymore because Disney owns the world. It's just.
I don't even know that makes it that far because this, you know. everything gets thrown through the 50-man committee.
I don't know. I just, there was things I did like about it. Like the small callbacks to the original as far as a nostalgic purpose, that was fine. But there's so much forced nostalgia in this. Like all, like three different fucking songs that they sang would be an example of that.
They had the one in the original, from what I remember. Correct me if I'm wrong. They had the one "I Put a Spell on You," right?
Yeah, and it made sense in the scene.
In the context.
Yeah.
This was just like,
oh, we're on a stage, let's start singing.
And I don't know if like they just wanted, because I'll hand it to them, like Bette Midler seemed like she was having a good time.
I did like the witches reprising their roles, right?
The other two, I think, they were just there. I couldn't tell with...
They had a lot less dialogue, I feel like. This was a Bette Midler heavy.
Yeah, but I think she is having a good time. So, you know, fine. She gets to do that. Good for her. And they're all fucking old now, man. But like...
Yeah, we looked up their ages after this. Bette Midler's like 77, I think.
Yeah, they're old. I mean, even Sarah Jessica Parker would be the youngest,
right?
She was
born in 65. Because we looked up all the dates.
She's late 50s.
Yeah, they're up there.
She's older, yeah. But, I don't know. It felt like the modern form. We got the more singing and dancing, right? We got the more, I don't know. Sam Richardson was another thing in this that really stood out to me of being, he was himself, but he was himself.
I liked his storyline more than our protagonists in this film. The three girls that were the witches.
I didn't like any of it, but he
kind of felt
just
like the same character, just written three different times.
Yeah.
Like nothing stood out between the three of them, or at least he had like he made a bad decision to bring them back because he honestly felt like they were judged wrong, and then he was wrong about that. And then
maybe I missed something with him, to be honest. Then I feel like I zoned out at some point, and he was like orchestrating all this, and then he was
orchestrating it because Bette Midler put his life on the line.
So yeah, maybe I missed.
Where it's like, maybe you either do these things or you die, right?
That's kind of his motivation.
That was his motivation, was to live. Like, oh, I'm going to go collect all these things or I'm going to die.
Yeah, I think I missed something. I remember scenes of them all standing in the shop, but I don't remember a lot of the dialogue or what actually happened in those scenes. So, fair enough.
I don't know. Like, and then humanizing the witches at the end.
That was...
Like,
annoying.
Why? Why are we doing that?
They were bad.
They're bad people.
In the original, they're bad. Like, just because you can look back fondly on them. And have,
I was
going to
say, think of when the children
doesn't mean they
threw them in the
people.
Oven. They're out in the streets celebrating that they killed the witches. Like, these are bad people who are... You know, I could continue on with my gripes on this. Here's my last note, and then I'm going to be done talking. Because I don't want to talk about it anymore. I'm disappointed. There's a post-credit scene. It didn't play during my credits. I had looked it up on YouTube.
Huh?
It didn't play during my credits.
Oh, did you have like autoplay on and it skipped or some shit?
I went back this morning and I went through the entire credit sequence looking for this post-credit scene and it wasn't there.
Really?
So I don't know if it got removed and somebody just happened to get a video of it, but there was a post-credit scene.
Okay.
And I couldn't find it, but it's setting up for a third Hocus Pocus. There's another black flame candle. In a box.
But who are you going to bring back?
Shit if I know. I have no idea. It was interesting to me that I couldn't find it when I went to look for it. I couldn't
it's
find
Disney.
Yeah. So now I don't even know if it exists or not. Maybe it's just some dude was like, hey, check this shit out.
Interesting.
I was really excited about this movie. And maybe my expectations were far too high. Because of how much I like the original. But again, like I said, a lot of people are split on this. Like you really liked it or you didn't. And there's not really an in-between.
I feel like that's all Disney's content right now though, right? Across all of their stuff now, all the actual Disney stuff. Then you got Star Wars and you got Marvel and you got... I feel like you're either like 100% like, fuck yeah,
on
let's
board,
go.
Yeah.
Or you're just like, this shit, I'm done with this shit. I'm done.
Yeah,
and that's the point, honestly, that I'm at, is I'm more than happy to get rid of Disney Plus now, and I feel like I tried. I watched the first episode or two of Obi-Wan. Just couldn't do it. If they, whenever Mando comes back, I'll probably, like, yeah. I want to see Mandalorian, but I'm not interested in Boba Fett. I'm not interested in...
There's just so much content now. There's
too much. And it's all starting to just be the same kind of...
Ugh. It's just, it's such a time commitment. And it's funny to hear us talk about a time commitment with anything until we watched a movie for the last 350 days. And maybe I would have more patience for shows like that, right? If I wasn't doing what I'm doing right now.
That's true, yeah.
But I feel like we've been on Hocus Pocus too long. It is a zero for me. It's not a good movie.
Yeah.
People were asking me like, oh, Mitch, what are you going to rate it? And I'm like, at first I didn't know, but it wasn't until I sat down to start writing my notes that I was finding very little to say good about it. I'll continue watching Hocus Pocus. And
that's the thing. But
I don't think I ever need to relive this movie, and it's going to be on Freeform or whoever has the rights to it every single year, probably moving forward as a back-to-back thing on 31 days of Halloween or whatever. So,
well, there you go. But that's the thing, is not everything that people liked, and I know it's money, right? I'm not saying there's any other intention that sparks these decisions to make these new things, right? I'm sure that's a driving factor in probably all of them, right? All of the new stuff from old stuff we get is all money's probably the main thing, right? Maybe you get people behind it who are passionate about it and do something good with it. But for the most part, they're not thinking about the fans, right? They're thinking about the fans are going to give us their money because they like it.
Well, as evidence to that point, Thora Birch, who played Dani in the original, the little young sister, they reached out to her about reprising her role in this film.
Yeah.
And she said she wanted to do it, but by the time like everything got settled, she was already working on something and the studio wasn't willing to wait for her, even though it's been 29 years that they've made, you know, like what was the rush at that point?
Yeah, they didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
They're like, do you want to be a part of this thing? We're going to make lots of money. She's like,
well, she wanted to be busy, part of it, right?
But yeah.
And then by the time we're starting this up, they're like, hey, can you wait a few months while I finish this project and I'll help you out? They're like, no, sorry, we're on this time crunch. And it's like, what do you mean time crunch? It's been 29 years. You can wait
another year. Yeah, also you have a streaming platform that you can fucking release shit whenever you want and drive subscriptions and shit now. So, it's not like it was going to, I don't know.
You're right, you know. Well, close us out, Scott. On Sunday,
Flight of the Phoenix, 1965, not the Dennis Quaid one.
We weren't supposed to watch the Dennis Quaid one?
Oh, fuck, man. What are you doing? After an oil company plane crashes in the Sahara, the survivors are buoyed with hope. That's an interesting phrase. Buoyed with hope by one of the passengers, an airplane designer who plans for them to build a flyable plane from the wreckage.
So this was our test movie to see if we liked James Stewart, not an Alfred Hitchcock movie.
James Stewart movie, yes.
I would say I like James Stewart.
I would agree. I'm sure neither of us expected to not like him, but this was great. I have seen the Dennis Quaid one.
Have you really?
I have. I saw it when it came out, probably. It's like an older... Back in, I remember 04, seeing it way back, right? My dad and I were talking about it after this. So, but that's a long time ago, and I don't remember, right? Yeah. I just remember like scenes of it. I remember him. I remember some of it. But like, I don't really remember what the fucking story was besides they crash or in a desert or stranded, right? This is a good movie. This is a really good movie.
It's a little slow.
But it's a good movie until the end. Until they reveal that he is a toy plane designer.
He
makes models. Then it is a great movie.
Okay, I was like, no, you didn't like that?
I was going in and out. I'm like trying to keep up. It was a hell of a week. And so by the time we hit Hocus Pocus and Flight of the Phoenix weekend, I was done watching and didn't really want to watch either of them to begin with. So I was struggling to keep my attention. And then the last like 20 minutes of the movie is just like, fuck yeah, let's go. And then they fly, like they're taking off. And
you have no idea if it's going to work or not.
Go, go, go.
I love the reasoning behind it, though. Right? He's like,
well, the physics are...
Yeah, he's like, it's the same shit. Like, I have to build a plane that doesn't have a pilot, right?
Yeah.
So, like, mine should be better built. Well,
you
think,
you encounter other stuff of, like, weight distribution with people. And
They all had to stand.
But it's like, he still has to know the mathematics of that and knowing that exists. And, yeah, so there's a chance it's going to fly. Is it going to fly far? Is it going to fly well? Is it going to get off the ground with people on it? Who knows? But the idea is, like, yeah, it makes sense.
I mean, you're in the middle of a desert, but this is still such a tight...
Oh, yeah.
Like, framed movie, right? Because you're stuck. Like, you have your plane. You could journey out if you wanted to, but there's a chance you're never coming back. You're never going to, you know, you're not going to survive. So, like, there was a lot of suspense built of, like, just being in that environment. I loved the different personalities of all the characters in the movie and how they interacted. And
dude, there's so many people in this.
There's a lot. There's a huge cast.
Of people that, like, we've watched recently through this experience that I wouldn't have recognized had we not watched other movies like Cool Hand Luke or... So many people.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
Richard Attenborough.
Yeah, he was great. Young Richard Attenborough. Before I don't think I've seen him in anything
Jurassic Park.
Other than knowing him as,
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
Yeah, he was great.
So, couple things about this. The movie is rumored to be based off of a true story, but nobody has confirmation of if that's true or not.
Really?
So, like, you could talk about it being based off of one, but there's no factual evidence to support that. But also, with everything that, like, happened, like, there's a lot of evidence to support that it was based off of a true story. So I thought that was interesting. One of the final shots of the film was actually the last shot of pilot Paul Mance, who was killed on his second attempt of skimming the plane on the sand. Like, they got the shot that they needed. Then they had him do it again for something. Like, they didn't need him to recreate the shot. And he ended up dying. Like, he nosedived into the sand or something. And they ended up just switching over to models. But the quote is, "It should be remembered that Paul Mance, a fine man and a brilliant flyer, gave his life in the making of this film."
Yeah.
Which is, like, the most 1960s phrase ever. Fine man.
A fine man.
And a brilliant flyer.
Yeah. Yeah, that is very...
You know? And I'm not trying to make fun of the remembrance of him. Like, that's...
No, God, no. Yeah.
You never want somebody to lose their life.
Nowadays, it would just be, like, in memory of,
yeah,
just a quick throwaway, like,
but, like, there's just such a respect of people.
This made me want to know what happened. Like, this made me want to know what is that all about. Versus if it just said in memory of this person, I'd probably be like, oh, it's dedicated to the director's fucking mom or some shit, right? Like, you never know.
Somebody who passed away during the filming of
This was actually I don't know. It was great.
But yeah, I liked this movie quite a bit. I thought everybody did exceptional. It was interesting to me that even though as big of a cast as it was, like, initially it didn't have that great of a release.
Mm.
From what I was reading, that a lot of people just kind of overlooked it. I don't know exactly what it was, but again, back in the 60s, man, if you had beef with somebody, you just punch them in the face. Just brawl it out, man to man. And then you just set aside your differences and you go on your merry way.
Well, that was Ernest Borgnine's character in this was obviously something very... I liked that he was able to... Like, you felt like it was a fuse about to, you know?
Yeah.
He's a ticking time bomb. And yeah, that. And then who was the... Not this, was it the sergeant?
I think James Stewart punched somebody in the face. That's traditional.
There's a lot of people punching people in the face. Yeah, as is tradition. James Stewart clocks someone.
Hey, fuck you, man. All right, we good now? Yeah, we're cool. You have a mean right hook.
I don't know. This was definitely, the funny thing is this could be... This is a similar movie to Hitchcock movies, right? It's got suspense. It's got a good story. It's got
well-written characters.
Yeah. So like, I'm thinking Hitchcock is one thing, and they're great movies. And James Stewart in Hitchcock is one thing. He's a great actor. They're great movies. He elevates them. because he's great. I'm thinking he just knows how to fucking pick good stories, man.
Well, I'm also, I just tuned in to see who directed this movie. Yeah. Robert Aldrich. He is also the director of like the original Longest Yard, The Dirty Dozen, Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
Interesting.
So he's, you know, quite the director himself. Yeah. So he's going to tell a pretty good story.
Sure.
No, I liked it quite a bit. I didn't think I wasn't not going to like it. Because, again, James Stewart has become one of my favorite actors from this whole ordeal. Yeah. I love the final shot where they're all just, like, clasping to the plane for dear life as they fly away. Like, but they have, like, the glass to, like, create the wind guard and stuff. And I'm like, that's kind of cool, but also fucking terrifying. Yeah. If like one of them falls, the whole balance of the plane might alter. And then
I was yelling at the screen at the Scottish guy when he was on. He like had his head over the glass.
Get
he
the
was
fuck looking down. Up.
Like, dude, put your fucking head down. What are you doing? He's like,
No, this is a good one. You said you don't remember of the 04 at all.
I couldn't tell you if it was good. I couldn't tell you. I didn't remember the parts of the story that were, you know, obviously if I would have known that was coming, maybe I wouldn't have been like, ah, it's great, because I would have known it's coming. But I didn't remember enough of it to affect my watch of this at all.
So any I'd, different yeah, than being I'd be the interested first time. To know how they compare, probably the original being better. But I'd give it a 1.
I give it a 1 as well. And I mean, so this was one that was on our watch list for a long time. I just happened to be going through them and see that it was James Stewart. And I was like, fuck, this is perfect. It's not Hitchcock and it's James Stewart. And when we talked about that, we were looking for it. So this is a movie I wanted to see anyway, right? We would have watched at some point if we were continuing to do this. But this, I'm glad it worked its way in, right?
Me too. But that is week 50 wrapped up in the books.
Yeah.
And honestly, quite the discussion today. It was a different week of movies for sure.
It was.
Because a lot of them you could argue that they weren't movies. Not a lot of them, but some of them. the themes were nice. I think having good music plays a lot into some of these.
That was nice. That was very nice. I mean, aside from Hocus Pocus, I think I enjoyed the week more than I have recently. It's been, I'm at a weird point I wanted to kind of say, cause I know there's through the Stranger Things week now that that's out. I was pretty low. No, I was pretty low. Right.
I've heard it about
not
you.
Great. Oh, have you?
Tell Scott that he needs to rewatch Stranger Things and
it's not going to fucking change my mind. But I think I'm just trying to enjoy my last weeks. I know I've said that in the last few weeks, I think, but it's the recording now. It's this, right? Today I feel like I struggled to get through some thoughts. I'm excited that we're almost done. I'm excited for the next 2 weeks of movies to get through. I'm not upset with, I've been on track too. Like I haven't missed a movie.
That was something in like 2 weeks. That was weird for me. We do pretty good to like hide it sometimes, but there have been like
Saturdays
where like I had 4 or 5 movies to watch.
Oh yeah. There have been a couple of those, but like and most weeks I think there's like
at least
Monday,
a movie behind.
I didn't have time and I just didn't. So the next day
sets
I had to watch
the entire
that.
Week
I
back.
Back.
Yeah.
And I watched 2 or, you know, yeah. And so that's been weird. So it's not so much the watching of the movies anymore. I think that's going to be a weird habit to break when we're done. But I'm really excited to not have to fucking talk about these anymore.
Well, I was stressing a little bit because I was actually caught up going into yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I was stressing that I had more to watch than I actually did. And it was just the one movie, but I was like, God, this is weird. Like, I feel like I'm forgetting something.
I forget my whole weekend's gone to movies.
I feel like I'm forgetting something. So that's going to be unusual for me when it's all done. That like, I'm going to get to Saturday and be like, God, I didn't watch any movies this week.
Movies
oh, shit.
I have to watch. Yeah, that's funny.
But no, I'm with you. I think back, and I've been thinking back. I've been kind of reminiscing on our time.
Yeah, as have I.
And we've talked about a lot of fucking movies. We've talked for a lot of time, had a lot of conversations. Like, you hear our edited stuff, but there's quite a few bits that get taken out, or whole conversations that just maybe are repetitive. And
yeah, we've had episodes in recording that have been 2.5 hours long almost, but they get cut down to an hour and a half ish, you know, or those episodes probably closer to 2 hours, but
yeah, there's still a lot,
but like comes we talk out. You know, and I think you know, this week was one where I just feel like I just struggled to have thoughts.
It was a weird week to talk about, though. Like, I think like Metallica through the Never. It was a concert. We can talk about the music, and there's a small movie in there, but
We talked about that movie for quite a bit.
That's what I'm saying, is like formulating your thoughts ahead of time, though, of like, what are you going to say about this?
Oh, yeah.
Versus like when we start chatting and we'll bring shit up that, you know,
sure,
we're going to obviously talk about, because it's like, oh yeah, that was a good point that you made, or, you know, something. I don't know. It's just different. But as we close in on these 2 weeks, it's getting nice. I know I've said I've seen the finish line for a while, but this is like our last week of picks. There's something exciting about having guests, like a guest on. There's something really exciting about having 7 guests on for our final week.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun week, I think. So that'll be something different. Editing and all of that after that is going to be annoying and a nightmare. But that's what we have Jess for. No.
Yeah. Gee. Thanks.
Just thank kidding. You, I'll be helping extensively.
It's Morbin time.
but yeah, this last week, and you know, I've thought about a couple times this week, thinking of the, for lack of a better term, theme that I went into the last couple weeks of movies. Like this one, I had all the metal movies, right? Metallica and Metal Lords in the Dirt. Or you know, music based movies.
Yeah.
And this next week, they're all foreign, and they're all movies that I really want to watch, but I'm dreading having to read them.
Well,
I've thought about going back and swapping some out for other stuff, but I think I'm going to stick to it, because I don't know that I'll watch these anytime soon if I didn't force myself to for this week.
I wanted to bring that up, is one of the successes of this is seeing movies that I probably would have never just thrown on. Like, it might have sparked my interest, but there's probably something else that I would have watched over it, or, you know, even just doing something besides watching a movie. So the fact that it forced us to watch some of those films that we've been neglecting for as much as we have, that's been cool. And I've enjoyed a lot of what I've watched throughout this experience. I know our ratings aren't high. you know, we're barely passing.
We're positive, I think, across the board, but, you know, maybe 60%.
Yeah, so we're barely positive, passing.
But no, I agree. And I think I'm glad because, and I think these last couple of weeks, we'll talk about this stuff on and off. So I don't think it's not appropriate to talk about now, even though it's only the week 50 episode. But I think our list, our movie list, is still so huge, and we didn't get around to those. But having gone back and looked through some of it, I think a lot of the movies that we didn't end up watching were the easy picks. I think there's a lot of movies that would have been, oh, I throw this on, we watch it, we talk about it, whatever. Like, it's just available. And I think a lot of, and I'm speaking for me, I don't know about you with your Netflix of the week movie picks, and you know, there's convenience that goes into what we picked. But I think some of the movies that I threw on, I know motivation for challenging you. Like, I know I probably would like this movie. Are you going to like this movie? So let's watch it and talk about it. And you know, with you, with something like The Munsters, I probably never would have really watched. Rob Zombie being attached to it, I think I would have shown interest, but I don't know that I ever actually would have watched it. And I ended up being like, you know what?
Not too bad.
If he came back with a show, if they had a show, I'd probably give it a chance. I don't know how much I'd watch of it.
But you would at least tune in. Yeah.
And I wouldn't have done that otherwise. So it is a interesting opportunities we've had of movies that we've watched and picks. And Kicking this next week off with KGF chapter two, I think is going to be a fun one. And, you know, it's a good final week of our picks.
Yeah. So as Scott said, we have 1 week of our picks. Then we have all of our guests returning for our final episode.
A guest a day plus an extra day because math.
Because math. But then, yeah, a couple weeks and we're going to, you know, give our final thoughts of everything and talk about our experience, because we did initially, and we've started to more towards the end as we're getting closer, but there was definitely a 20-week span of time where I don't think we really talked about our experience of...
No, we were like, here's the movies, this is what we thought of them, okay, bye.
Pretty much, right? But like, that's what we needed to do in that moment.
Through it, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I think if we would have sat down and talked, like, it would have been harder to get through, and then just, we knew this is where we were. So, with all that being said, I know it's a longer outro, probably a longer episode, just because of, we had a lot of side content, which I thought was interesting. We appreciate you tuning in to the Indiana podcast, and we'll check you on the next one.
Goodbye.
Da-na-na-na-na-na, it's morphin' time. Da-na-na-na-na-na, Scott and Jess. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na, role played. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na, Morbius. No,
okay, so yeah, context now in the credits. we put on, I didn't want to watch Morbius, but I was joking about it, and she was like, I don't remember what she said, but now that it's on Netflix, I think. Netflix? Yeah. Now that it's on Netflix, I was like, we could watch Morbius in like 30 minutes, maybe. She's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I could just like fast forward through stuff and stop at certain points and just tell you what happened.
Speed run.
She's like, like narrate it like you would narrate it. I said, yeah, go for it. We were fucking dying. And she's like, after the podcast, like whatever you and Mitch decide to do, or, you know, whatever you continue to do, she's like, you should have a channel where you narrate, you give like synopsis, like 20-minute synopses of entire movies or something, just like this, because it's fucking hilarious. I'm like, I don't think I could do this on demand, and I was very tired last night, so... And it probably wasn't as funny as we thought it was, because it never is.
You hit a new level of sarcasticness. Oh, man. Tired, yeah.
Yeah, I think anybody that has grown to dislike me through this experience of people, friends, whatever, of my thoughts on movies, you're not going to like that content.
So. Either way, bye.
And we're back from that.
We're back from our break. I just found out Scott and Jess role-played Morbius. Moving into Thursday.
You can't just leave it at that. I have to explain when I yelled, it's Morbin time.
Wait, I thought I was the one doing the Morbin.
And what was so purple about it all?
It was at the climax.
Anyway. Which that movie didn't have one, so... We must not have been doing good at role playing it. Oh, fucking Morbius. Anyway, I don't know if this is going to be in where it is or in at the end, but
on Thursday,
just take care of it. But yeah, that was the monsters.